Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shift podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome. Well, hello and welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. I'm your host, Christina Castagnini. And for those of you who are new here, I'm a licensed psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist. And I'm also someone who has survived an eating disorder and in recovery. So I'm coming at you from both perspectives as someone who's had an eating disorder and also as someone who's a professional and can speak to, the professional aspect of treating people who now have eating disorders. And today I have somebody here with us who's really pretty phenomenal and can speak to the medical aspects of menopause. And the reason I want to talk about menopause is because eating disorders are increasingly common and don't just occur in teenagers. I know there's a myth out there that they do, but they don't. Eating disorders in menopausal women have actually increased in frequency over the past decade or so. And some women find that having menopausal symptoms leads to an eating disorder that is actually they've actually successfully managed in the past. So it's actually recurring. And other women suffer with eating disorders for the very first time during their menopause. So it's something I really want to talk about and discuss. I know I had somebody on in a past episode who's a nutritionist, and that was a really great episode to talk about some of the nutritional aspects of how to manage menopause. But today with me, I have a guest who can talk to more of the medical aspects and some of the hormonal aspects and what's really going on. And so I'm really excited to bring her on. I'm just going to do a brief intro and then get right into it. I have with me Rachel Cabrera, who is a certified sexual health clinician, anti-aging specialist, and she's been in practice for over 22 years and is the founder and CEO of Innovative Wellness Incorporated, which is her healthcare practice in Walnut Creek, California, that specializes in urogynecology, pelvic and sexual health. And she does have a focus that enriches services to personalize a holistic, integrative, multidisciplinary approach to wellness. She's also the founder and CEO of Pure Vitality Incorporated, which is a product line, which is an intimate product line for women, which specializes in therapeutic and restorative formulations to repair and support intimate skin and well-being. Pure Vitality Incorporated is founded and driven by a female entrepreneur. Rachel is a female entrepreneur. She's an optimist, feminist, sex enthusiast, and medical provider, which all summarizes the passion and dedication Rachel has for supporting women's health at the forefront, empowering women, and unlocking the taboo conversations in sexual health and well-being. She's finding gaps in women's health and optimizing opportunity to optimize quality of life. So with that, I want to welcome Rachel. Rachel, welcome.
So proud and excited to be here with you today. Very honored. We have a lot of good stuff to talk about.
We do. So, I'd had somebody on here before to talk about menopause, and it was more based on the nutritional aspects. So I'm really excited to talk about more of the medical aspects and really the things that women come in and talk to you about. So could you maybe discuss more about what is it that women come in and talk to you about or come see you about in regards to menopause?
So I really feel like this is such a very special time in history for women, and especially in sexual health, menopause, unlocking taboo conversations. Probably what, 40 years ago, which seems like a long time, but really wasn't a long time. We couldn't even say words like vagina or sex or, I have a, menopause symptom that is really impacting my quality of life, vaginal dryness, urinary incontinence, bladder infections, all of these things you know, that women suffer with menopause. And I feel like being at the forefront and having the ability to be an advocate for women and really speak and put a language to symptoms they're having is such an amazing thing, to be able to have women feel that they finally can express themselves and feel liberated. So just to kind of get to some good conversation about menopause, yesterday I had 9 consults of new women that I met with who are menopausal. And I actually put together 9 comments that each one of them said related to why they were coming and what they were feeling and experiencing during menopause. You ready for this?
So actual patients that they give you some,
these are quotes.
Some quotes. Okay.
Direct quotes. Okay. So besides the complaints about feeling fatigued, foggy head, vaginal dryness, lack of libido, not sleeping well, mood swings, okay, comments specifically, quote unquote, menopause is kicking my butt. I can't get weight off. It's almost impossible to move the scale. What's happening? Usually I just don't even know what's happening. I just feel so disconnected from my body. Weight gain is so frustrating. Weight gain is depressing me. I feel sluggish. I have gas. And the weight gain has now overpowered my image of what I used to be. Weight gain has been increasing over years and it must be in love with me because I can't get the weight off. I can't fit in my clothes. It makes me feel awful. I don't even want to walk in my closet. I'm working out daily, eating healthy. I can't get this weight off. So these are consistent comments that women are suffering with menopausal symptoms, and it's impacting body image. Even one patient had commented that because it's been so hard, she's eating clean, eating healthy, exercising daily, you know, doing everything that she can to be at best at an optimal weight, and she just can't get the weight off. So she actually started trying diet pills, the flash diets, and just kept, you know, she's kept failing with not being able to get her weight off.
See, News, I'm hearing all this and so many red flags are going off in my head just saying, oh my gosh, how awful that women are coming in and that's what's bothering them. They are talking about like hot flashes and foggy head and low energy. And these are the comments they're talking about. It's like, they're so concerned about their weight. And that's really the biggest struggle they're coming in to and really struggling with. And how sad is that as a society that that's the biggest struggle? You know, I'm sitting here thinking, gosh, like, why aren't they more concerned about the fact that they're not sleeping or not having energy or not thinking clearly or feeling disconnected from their body? And what does that say about us as a society, number one? But then the other thing is, you know, as an eating disorder specialist, I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, like clean eating, like exercising, all this, it just sounds like so eating disordered and like just speaks to our society as a diet culture. And, you know, I'm just thinking of my listeners right now going, oh my gosh, like, what is happening? And is this what's going to happen if somebody maybe is listening and they're not in menopause or perimenopause or like, is this what's, you know, is this just going to be the focus is like weight and again, perpetuating this whole thing about like the struggle with menopause is going to be weight and body image. And, you know, and I'm just curious too, is like that, does that become then the focus of treatment is okay, now let's just focus on how to get your weight off or what happens when they're coming in with this, right?
So, you know, let's start with just menopause in general. Every woman is going to go through menopause at some point in their life. Okay. From the minute we're born, and I like to push it to our 40s, our estrogen, our hormones are raging, spiking, we're ovulating, we're, you know, having all of this, you know, our body's constantly recruiting estrogen to be made. All of a sudden from 40 on, our estrogen slowly. And when I talk about estrogen, I also need to talk about progesterone, testosterone, because all of these hormones, and including our cortisol, thyroid, all these main conductors in our body, they all balance and dance, you know, together throughout all of this process to keep balance in our body. So from about 40 on, what happens is our hormones slowly start to decrease to the point where no period for a year, welcome to the next adventure of your life. Here we go. Okay. But as this, you know, as these hormones are decreasing, what's happening, women will start feeling like, oh, I have, you know, vaginal dryness or foggy head has kicked in, or I'm not sleeping well, you know, all these subtle little things. And I think the time perimenopause, between perimenopause and menopause, I call it the gray zone, because I feel like it's the hardest time for women, because it's when things are like, your hormones are still there in quantities where it's still supporting, you're still menstruating, you're still having, you know, that month, you know, your monthly cycle, but you're a little bit more moody, you're having a little bit more PMS, you're feeling like, gosh, it's harder to, you know, my weight is starting to become a problem, you know, all of these things start to become a little bit unbalanced. So, you know, when patients come, when women come and see me, my office is set up for, and the whole goal of my practice is to be a destination for women to come and tell their story. I want to understand what they're going through, what's working, what's not working. And I spend at least an hour with the patients for the first consult. And what we're looking at is, the first part of it is understanding what's going on, where the gaps are, what they're suffering with, what's impacting their quality of life. And we're talking about everything from emotional to physical to, you know, what's going on in their personal life, what's going on in you know, work life, you know, all of the big picture. So I can really understand the foundation of what they're experiencing and where, you know, some of the downfalls are coming, where some of the red flags are and where we need to focus. But then I also have them do a very detailed lab panel. So what I'm looking at is I do serum testing, which is blood test, and it's very detailed. It is testing everything from pituitary to thyroid to cardiovascular to inflammation to insulin to gut to some vitamin levels. So it really gives me a foundation of, you know, in their clinical health, like what's their foundation? What's going on? And then I do a very detailed comprehensive urine test, which is a 24-hour urine, which they feel like a little scientist doing because they have to collect urine all day. But I can tell you it's the best way to really look at hormones. And we're talking about your estrogens, your testosterone and androgens, your progesterones, your cortisol levels. And it not only tells me what's going in and what's going out, but it's also telling me how it's metabolizing or methylating, how it's breaking down the body. And it also reflects probably what your body's been doing for the last, you know, 2 or 3 months. So it really gives me a clear foundation and clinical view of where your gaps are and where we need to kind of work on and where we need to start and where we need to work on. And oftentimes, you know, women will come in and they'll say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm having hot flashes. I'm not sleeping, the weight issue. And they automatically think it's estrogen. And sometimes it's, their estrogen is fine. And it's their testosterone, it's their cortisol, it's their progesterone is off. So, you know, we have to look at everything as a whole. And we can't just isolate one hormone from another. Estrogen has about 400 jobs in the body. And we probably can name every 400 jobs from, you know, our eyes, our skin, our brain health, our cardiovascular health, our bone health. Progesterone has about 300 jobs. Testosterone has about 375 jobs. Cortisol, you know, helps upregulate, downregulate. It is our stress hormone. You know, if we didn't, you know, everyone has cortisol. It's your stress hormone. And if we didn't have cortisol, we'd be dead. It is our fight or flight. It's what wakes us up in the morning, helps us go to sleep at night. It helps us put the foot on the brake when we have to respond. All of these things work together in addition to thyroid. So we have to look at thyroid as well, because thyroid has a little bit to do with everything in the body. So we have to look at all the main conductors to really understand where the gaps are and where we need to start working on things. So women who are specifically having like weight issues with menopause, which is a very common symptom. Okay. It's like out of nine women commented that they're having some kind of issue with weight. And what we're looking at is metabolism, how their thyroid, and I always start with the thyroid because our thyroid has such a big impact on metabolism and regulating our other hormones to all sync together. So, you know, with our thyroid, I'm not only looking at your total thyroid, I'm looking at your T4, which is the component of the thyroid that actually gets the message from the body to say, this is how much I need today to help the body work. And the T3 is the component that's actually the workhorse. So that is the component of the thyroid that actually is delivering to the body and making sure that it's getting distributed to really regulate and keep things going. And then there's antibodies, which we shouldn't have thyroid antibodies, but I look at all of the components of our thyroid. And then I look in conjunction what our cortisol is doing, where our estrogen levels are, where our testosterone levels are, and where our progesterone levels are, because they all have part of working together to keep our metabolism healthy and running efficiently. So it's kind of like a car. You got to have everything working together. You can't just have one thing working and not the other. It's not going to work efficiently, right? So we have to look at it as a whole to really figure out where the gaps are and how are we going to rebalance with, you know, a treatment plan to really come up with a treatment plan that's going to fit your body. And you know, it's personalized medicine. We have to kind of figure out the recipe to really figure out what we're going to do to get you back on track.
So, you know, it's interesting. So you say the word like weight issue. And so as a, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, is it really an issue though? Or is weight one of like what really just happens with menopause? It's just a normal, typical change that occurs as part of menopause, a bodily change that maybe we need to actually have a conversation and normalize it. Like, just like with puberty with females, right? Like we go from having one type of body as, you know, a child with no hips and no breasts, right? And then as puberty comes in and the hormones shift and change, like our body composition changes, and maybe normalizing that for young girls too is like, hey, this is going to happen. This is normal. It's a normal change in the body. Your body's going to look different than it did at 5 years old or 8 years old when you're 12, 13. And I'm just wondering if it's not really so much a weight issue as more of like, hey, this is an anticipated change that's going to happen. You're going to have a shift in the way your body looks and the body composition. And it's not so much like a weight issue you need to control or treat. It's like, just, yeah, this is what happens in menopause. Your body shifts and changes. And because, you know, I know that menopause is another time where women are more vulnerable to having eating disorders because they're not ready and anticipating a shift in their body and they want to try to control it, right? Because you're talking about all these hormonal shifts and changes and one, you know, trigger for eating disorders is feeling so out of control and really wanting to control it. Much like you said, that one woman was like, I'm trying to exercise and eat clean. And it's like this ultimate control. Like, I want to control this, right? But I'm wondering, like, could we just normalize it and just say, hey, what's normal? What does menopause really look like? Like, what can women expect that's actually like normal? Could we just talk about that and say, it's okay. Like,
And I completely, absolutely agree with you. And every single one of these ladies who, after they told their story, the comment from me was, this is actually a normal process. This is actually what our bodies are going through. We just don't like the symptoms. And we don't, and they creep up on us, right? Like we're going through our day and we're like, God, I didn't sleep well last night. Well, the next night I'm not sleeping well. And the next night I'm not sleeping well. And before you know it, I am fatigued. I can't tolerate things. You know what I mean? It's like one thing, it's like a domino effect of things, right? So as these symptoms are happening, we're so disconnected thinking that, oh my gosh, this is menopause. This is what's going to happen. This is normal. You know, there's not this template or a protocol that we're just given and saying, you know, this is what's going to happen to you when you turn 45. We're caught off guard a little bit. You're like, what the heck? My genes don't button today. I don't know what happened. But you know, in the realm of your, of what you're saying, yes, this is part of feeling liberated. This is part of what our body's going through. And, you know, I have so many women and they don't even have, you know, any of these, we're not having this discussion about their weight or nutrition or whatnot, just as even we're aging, you know, our bodies do go through changes and it's normal, right? And sometimes just as our bodies are going through changes, we still have to kind of adapt to what our changes are, right? Like how we were in our 20s, especially, I know we're kind of getting off the subject of weight, but like, you know, sexual function. Okay. Because hormonally it changes some of our sexual function, you know, like when we were 20 and doing a quickie in the car, and then here we are, you know, 50, maybe we couldn't move. We can't move like that. Or, you know, our body's a little different. We just have to adapt to some of those changes. And that's, you know, sometimes we talk about this whole discussion about anti-aging. It's not about a wrinkle. It's about longevity. How do we stay healthier longer? And how do we adapt to these changes and understand, yes, it's normal. Yes, we're going through this, but also to feel empowered that we don't have to live like this either. And we need to understand that there's also things we can do to treat these symptoms because it also is quality of life, right? If something's impacting your quality of life and stopping you from doing things you love to do, you need to talk about it, right? So normalizing it, I think, is such a big, big step, because women need to understand and we need to talk about it.
Right.
I just don't think women, you know, like I was saying, 40 years ago, things were so suppressed. And, you know, today they still are suppressed in so many ways. People, women still feel shame and embarrassment. And I can't tell you how many women cry with me every day because they're like, Rachel, I just was never able to talk about this before because I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. It's not the topic we talk about when we go out with our girlfriends and over a cocktail, you know, and it brings realization to the topic that we're talking about today, that we need to be advocates mm-hmm. and let women know, like, this is a process and we can't, you know, we shouldn't be feeling shameful about it. And we need to know that it's a normal process our body's going through, but there's also ways that we can approach and take better care of ourselves as well, just as part of aging, right? Part of longevity.
Right. So, and wouldn't that be great if we just kind of embraced it and said, you know, you don't have to fight biology. You don't have to, like, now that your body's shifting and changing, feel like you're a failure or you're not doing enough, or you need to diet, you're trying to take on a diet that's not going to work, because, you know, that brings on a whole host of other issues, right? Like I've talked about before on this podcast, 95% of people who take on a diet, they don't work, right? And so you end up doing a lot more damage to your body, to all those things you were talking about, like your hormones and cortisol. You put your body under so much more stress. And, you know, we could talk about that too. Like, what happens when you put your body under stress from dieting, and how does that affect, you know, bone density and, you know, all of the systems you're talking about when you go on a diet, you stress your body and then it doesn't work. And then you feel like more of a failure, want to control more things. So you've already got all this stuff going on with menopause, feeling out of control. Then you go on a diet, doesn't work, you feel like a failure, more out of control. Then you've got your body feeling out of control. It's just like
it's
a big snowball.
It's not horrible. A good combination at all. And you know, when women start to go into menopause, they're more at risk for cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis, and dementia. So not only are we more at risk for, you know, basic things that we are aware of, we're also at risk for things that we aren't even aware of, you know? So really understanding process and the anticipation of, okay, here we are entering menopause, you know, what are things I can do to better take care of myself are so important. And, you know, I'm actually treating women earlier in their 40s. Women are coming in like 40, exactly on the dot, even 39, and saying, you know, Rach, something's leaving the building. Like, I have more vaginal dryness, or I have more incontinence, or, you know, it's a little bit more difficult, you know, managing, my weight in some ways. You know, it's happening earlier and earlier. And that's because perimenopause starts to kick in around 40 and on. So I am treating women earlier and earlier, and that's not uncommon. We just never talked about it at 40 years old. We think, oh, well, we're 50 or 60, this is going to be the deal. And it's not. It's earlier and earlier. So, and you know, through our lifespan, we go through so many hormonal changes, like you were saying, from puberty. You know, oh my goodness, we're getting breasts, we're getting, you know, we're growing, there's different, just all this motion, all kinds of stuff going on in our body, you know, into maybe our 20s, our 30s, even our 40s now, when maybe we have a baby and our hormones are spiking and peaking. And, you know, then we come off into postpartum, and then all of a sudden we're here perimenopausal into menopause. Like, our hormones never stop going through changes in our life cycle. So there's all these hurdles through each part of this process that, you know, happens. And that's just part of being a woman. That's part of our lifespan. But menopause by far is the hardest time probably in a woman's life because of all of these things that we're talking about today.
And I'm just curious too, you know, as a psychologist, I see, you know, obviously some of the grieving process too that goes on with menopause. And I don't know if women are coming into you, you know, struggling with accepting, you know, this is really the end of my fertility and what that means. And I don't know if that's also part of what they're coming and discussing with you too, but it's also a shift and change in really that part of a woman's life as well. And really kind of bringing to the forefront, hey, I am aging. I am getting older. This is really a reality. And so there's a lot of shifts and changes going on.
And, you know, we talk a lot about intimacy. And that's a huge piece, because so many women will come in and not only are they having maybe perimenopause, menopausal problems, but now they're feeling like a lack of libido or a lack of desire, or, you know, and they come in and they actually have disconnected themselves. There's so many times where I'm like, bring your pelvis back in, come back in the office with us. Let's talk about what's going on, because they've disconnected themselves in so many ways, not only emotionally, but physically they're disconnecting. And intimacy is such, you know, this is probably a whole other podcast, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. To talk about intimacy, that you have to feel, you know, beautiful. And I feel like a woman's pelvis is their other heartbeat in their body, mm-hmm. because it's where we feel beautiful, where we feel pleasure, where we feel excitement, where we, you know, really definitely express love in so many ways, right? Mm-hmm. And share that with other people. But if you can't feel intimate with yourself and you're not feeling beautiful with yourself, how do you even express that with other relationships, right? So the lack of control of, and the loss of control of, oh my gosh, I've lost, like the libido's left the building. It's a very conversation. It's probably a conversation we have every single day in my office. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a conversation that, you know, I don't know what's happening. I don't have that desire. I can care less. Like, you know, I just have lost that feeling. And again, hormonally related, and we talk about, you know, there's a lot of pieces to it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just hormonally, there's relationships, there's stress, there's all kinds of pieces that we can talk about with intimacy and feeling of that intimate level in you, within you. But, you know, definitely that lack of control of like, gosh, I used to not be a thought. Mm-hmm. I used to just be there. And now I don't feel it anymore. And I've lost that control of it. I mean, all of these things start building up, you know, and can be one leading into the other. But it's definitely, you know, again, it's part of the lifespan of process with like pathophysiologically what our bodies are going through. But again, bringing to the forefront, is it normal? Yes. It's normal to start feeling lack of, but how do we rejuvenate that and how do we make it better? Right. So those are the conversations of, okay, now what are we going to do to restore and to get things back moving forward for you to optimize your quality of life. So there's lots and lots of things that we can talk about in a multidisciplinary approach. Not one thing is a magic wand either, right? Not like I'm going to put a patch on you and you're going to lose weight and you're going to be fine and you're going to, you know what I mean? Like that's not just the only thing. We have to look at it as a comprehensive piece and personalized. What's going on with you and where are the gaps and where are the challenges so we can really kind of figure out how we're going to manage what you're going through and how we're going to get this better for you.
Well, yeah, just as you were talking, I was thinking, gosh, you know, somebody really was very, you know, sexual and had a high sex drive and had a healthy libido. And maybe that's the way they connected with their partner or partners, or, you know, that was an important part of their life. You know, having that discussion, like what does change with that in menopause, if it does change, and really having that conversation about, hey, this is maybe what to expect, because I could see that contributing to maybe some body image issues, mm-hmm. feeling like, oh, maybe I'm not as desirable because that's not there, or maybe that having an effect on someone's mental health or psyche or self-image, mm-hmm. and feeling like maybe that piece, like you said, is gone, and so disconnecting, because hey, if that's gone, like that could affect somebody's feelings of attractiveness, like you're saying, or, and so I could see how having that discussion and maybe like you're saying, doing the hormone panel and saying, hey, this is why this is happening. It's not because you're not as attractive or as desirable. Like this is part of menopause.
Right.
Let's talk about that.
And, you know, one thing, you know, when I'm able to sit with my client and we are talking about all these things and there's tears and there's this whole liberation of like, I've just gotten off my chest what's going on. Like I've actually got it out of me now, right? Like I've actually told you what's going on. And then when we're able to put clinical to symptoms and to, you know, we put a language to what they're feeling, they're like, oh my God, Rachel, right now it's like liberating for them because they're like, I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, I'm not losing my mind because that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling, you know, and it's emotional. Like I feel like the loss of control. I feel like I'm losing my mind because I feel so out of control of all of my, like who I am as a person. Right. And intimacy, you know, sexual function, libido. Okay. Libido and desire are two different things. Desire is the take me now. Okay. Libido is the revving up, the, the engorgement, the lubrication. So once a woman starts to go into perimenopause, into menopause, that little shift changes I was talking about, you know, from 40 on, here we go, okay? And this is where my 40-year-olds come in. They're like, gosh, Rachel, you know, a little bit of lack of libido, like I'm a little, like feeling a little bit drier. Estrogen, and this has to do with testosterone too, okay? And it's your progesterone. But, you know, one of its most important jobs is to keep the vaginal ecosystem, the vagina healthy, keep the lubrication, the oxygenation, the blood flow, the engorgement, the overall health, okay? Once estrogen starts to decrease, what's happening is there's not that abundant amount in our body to support our vaginal ecosystem anymore. So the tissue starts to get drier, thinner, a little bit of irritated. And so many women will come in and they'll say, oh my gosh, Rach, I am having urinary urgency and or frequency and or leaking and or bladder infections. And oh my God, intercourse is becoming uncomfortable. It's burning, it's irritating, all because of lack of estrogen in the vagina and good lubrication. So really fixing the problem, right? Let's do a good moisturizer. Let's do a little bit of vaginal estrogen, very safe, transdermal. And sure enough, it just gets the revving up happening. What happens with a lot of women is because they're having these symptoms, they don't correlate it with vaginal dryness or the root cause. So then they're leaking more. Sometimes they're leaking with orgasm. They have pelvic pain, which leads into that turning off libido. Because if you know unconscious, like even if you're like, take me now, but unconsciously your body's like, oh, I know it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's the turn off, right? Mm-hmm. Lubrication isn't going to turn on. You're not going to be revving up because even if you want to do it and be intimate with your partner, sometimes that revving up doesn't happen because your body protecting itself. Like, oh, I know it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. And that lubrication doesn't kick in, right? So it's really talking about, you know, how to make that better. And, you know, there's a lot of ways that we can improve that. There's, you know, really treating root cause again. And, you know, when I sit with my patients and we're talking about sex in many different ways, okay, many different processes going on in their body, but we're also talking about how are your relationships? How's your stress? How's your sleep? How's your nutrition? What does your exercise look like? You know, just, and what is that? Where are the moments in the day that you take for yourself? Mm-hmm. Because self-care, which, you know, as women, we are multitaskers. We're doing a million things all the time, you know, and we often put ourselves on the back burner or we don't listen to our bodies and we're not thinking about like, oh, you know what? I didn't sleep well last night. I'm just really fatigued. This is why I'm not feeling desirable to, you know, like all of it kind of links together at some level. But, you know, orgasm is, you know, such a big piece for women with intercourse, because it's not just about intercourse, right? It's about the revving up. It's about the foreplay. It's about the pleasure that you should be getting out of it as well and experiencing. Orgasm, you know, produces oxytocin, which is like what I call our party hormone, but it's like it's what releases endorphins and it helps you, you know, have happiness and desire in so many ways, right? So you have to have all of these things linking together to really feel back to normal, right? There's so many pieces to it.
Well, it just sounds like you are really wanting your patients to have a well-rounded life and to really feel engaged in their life and not to feel bad about themselves and to really start understanding how to live, like you said, have longevity.
Right.
That's a fantastic thing. I think that having more of these kind of conversations, bringing more awareness is important and really understanding, you know, your physical being and an emotional being, you have lots of parts to you.
You have a lot of parts to you.
A lot of understanding. I just don't think there is enough discussion about it and enough normalization about all of this and understanding it's not, you know, it's not, you're a failure. You're not doing something wrong because your body's shifting and changing. This is just what happens. Mm-hmm. We're biological beings. We age, we have these things occur. And, you know, it always saddens me when people try to control something they can't actually control. You can actually, you know, understand it more and say, okay, is there something that, like you said, you know, can you sleep better? Can you, you know, look at the hormones? Can you do something? But it's like, ultimately things are going to happen. We're going to age, you know, you can't stop
things. And we can't be, there's so many women will be like, I'm, you know, don't apologize for it. Mm-hmm. You know, so many women will say, God, I'm so sorry. I didn't. And I'm like, what are you saying sorry for? Let's just feel good about being able to bring it to the table and do something about it. This is about your quality of life. And 1000%, you know, my goals are really to establish a personalized treatment and foundation of what can we do. And it's stepping stones. Nothing's going to happen overnight.
Right.
You know, and I tell them, we're going to start a program and we're going to get things going. This may not kick in for 3 months to 6 months. It's normal, because think about where your body has been for so long, right? Mm-hmm. And as soon as we start introducing some things, your body's going to be like, woo, here, I want this one, you know, and it goes away really fast until it starts getting, it's like a kid in a candy store, okay? Like, they just want, okay, we're going to go crazy and enjoy. But then there's going to come the time when the body will start restabilizing, and now we have more therapeutic levels of things and balance, and, you know, function is back on track. And that is when we start really feeling the benefits of back to normal. So,
well, Rach, you have given us so much information. So fantastic. I'm sure people will want to find you or know more about your products and everything that you do. So if people want to do that, how can they find you?
So I have my practice in Walnut Creek, Innovative Wellness Incorporated. Hopefully we can give them some information on the website and contact information. I am, you know, very happy to meet and talk with anybody who's having any of these symptoms. Our, you know, goal is to really establish a destination for women to be able to tell their story and to really feel liberated, to, you know, optimize our quality of life, because you absolutely deserve it. So you can find me at my practice in Walnut Creek, and also my product line, which we have online, that's coming up and we'll be live really soon. So lots of fun things. So we are here to provide a lot of different opportunities for women.
Fantastic. So yes, everyone go to my website after the show. I will have all Rachel's contact information, her website information. You can see all her products. Make sure to go there, and I'll have everything in my show notes. So Rachel, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. And yes, like you said, we could have many, many podcasts after this discussing many topics. I'm sure we will have you on the show again to discuss lots of other things.
So wonderful. Everyone take care.
Thank you again.
Yes.
All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, you can rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. You can also go to my website at behindthebitepodcast.com, where you can get a free email course and start your journey to making peace with your struggles with food and your body. Until next time, to your health, everyone.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guest are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.